Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everybody to Wednesday War Games, episode 7. I did a nice intro, but then Liam interrupted me out of petty spite and malice. So here's our low energy intro, where I've been defeated and conquered by the petty spite and petty malicious intent of Liam Jones, who is my co-host. Hello, Liam.
Got him.
I was like, oh, hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. And Liam's like, it's real warm today. I'm like, Liam, that I'm doing the start of the podcast. And then he tried to derail it, and I was like, no, we're actually going, this is actually the start. But then he stopped recording, so he double spited me, and this is what I have to deal with, everybody. I was like, hey Liam, you're my friend, do you want to do an AEW podcast? And he's like,
and
yeah.
I said no.
Actually, yes, he said no first, and then I was like, well, you were actually my second choice. And he was like, oh, and that,
that's,
I think,
not
that made him
wait
jealous.
whoa. I wasn't your second choice.
Yeah, you were. You were the second person I asked to be co-host, so you were by default my second choice.
I don't want this to be the intro.
Nope, it's the intro. AEW and NXT, as usual,
no,
went head-to-head.
No, that's awful.
Every Wednesday night, I'm steamrolling you. That's the intro to our podcast.
That's awful.
This is what you brought on us. You have brought us into the...
I was going to say, it's not even warm. I did the whole interruption about it being warm, but it's actually quite chilly.
Well, for you, chilly is like 17 degrees, and that's like
it's
roasting
15
hot.
Degrees.
It's actually chilly here, which I didn't want to get out of bed, because I watch NXT in bed, and then I have to actually get out of bed to talk to you about this these shows. So this is real a bad day for me all round, Liam.
Cancel the podcast. We're done.
And then you were late, you were like, oh, people are making noise, we have to be an hour late, so I got a chicken roll, and then you called me while I was eating my chicken roll, so I had to scoff down my chicken roll. Everything is going wrong!
Except for pro wrestling on Wednesday nights.
As usual, we have AEW and NXT. AEW won last week, continuing their streak of seven. Are we on six or seven? This is episode 7, isn't it? So it's 6 straight weeks of victory.
We were talking about the episode last week, and we were off, so...
Yeah, and we were the week before I introed the podcast, episode 5 or 4, and it was episode 5, so I had to edit out me saying what episode number it was.
Well, way to silence the truth.
Well, silence my stupidity. The good thing about
well,
editing
if you did
a podcast,
that, there'd be no bloody podcast.
Well, I was going to say the good thing about editing the podcast is you can give yourself the hero edit and edit out all your bad stuff, but then you're like, all your stuff is bad. Liam, why are you so mean to me?
This is episode 7.
This is episode 7. As usual, we're covering All Elite Wrestling first, because All Elite Wrestling is still undefeated on Wednesday War Games, as they're undefeated in the ratings. We open the show with a recap of Full Gear, followed by Kenny Omega, being very mad that he's all beat up. I loved Kenny's line, where he's like, the doctor tells him, you're not cleared tonight. And Kenny's like, what about Mox? And he's like, he was pretty beaten up, but he is cleared. And Kenny was pissed.
Oh, Kenneth, you on your bizarre adventure between multiple wrestling companies and getting banned from countries and not being able to wrestle.
So pissed that New Japan have kicked him out of the country and he couldn't beat up John Moxley more than John Moxley could beat up him. And like, they showed some cuts on his back. I think the black eye they gave him was makeup, but the cuts on his back look nasty.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest, I missed this segment. That's why I was deflecting.
You skipped over you just skipped straight to John Moxley against Michael Nakazawa?
No, because I started watching the stream live and it was a minute late.
Oh, when you didn't go back, for the sake of podcasting professionalism, you didn't go back and watch it.
I am an amateur in everything I do.
John Moxley beat Michael Nakazawa in a match that apparently was 45 seconds, but still seemed like 15 seconds too long.
How dare you? This ruled.
She should have hit him with the DDT and pinned him, but they did some forearms, and then he hit him with the DDT and pinned him.
They were showing that Nakazawa was fired up for his friend.
It was his AEW Dynamite debut. He was fighting on behalf of Kenneth, and then he got killed.
Yeah, I actually did like the little tweet that he sent out about how he was doing it to prove that the friendship wasn't so one-sided.
Well, what do you mean? How is it one-sided?
Well, let me find the tweet. Mox beat up my best friend Kenny. I knew there would be no way I could beat him, but it didn't matter. I had to do it for myself, not for Kenny. I didn't want the friendship just to be given. I wanted to deserve it. I lost the match, but somehow I don't feel too bad.
I love the idea that it's like, I knew I'd be beaten in a minute, but I had to be beaten in a minute for the sake of my friend.
Yeah, he was doing it to prove something to Kenneth.
Would you fight John Moxley in a losing battle for me, Liam?
I'd win.
Oh, well, I guess. Is it noble if you think you'd win? Probably
no,
not.
No, because at that point it's just narcissistic.
That's true. John Moxley then cut a promo after the match being like, I beat up Kenny and then everyone else in this company is a bunch of bitches who won't fight me. Somebody should fight me. Come down here and fight me. And then no one came and fought him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really thought this was setting up for like someone to come out and yell at him.
Yeah, it's like, I suppose like, we'll get to it later. Someone does eventually accept his challenge. But everyone's like, nah, I don't want any right now.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like the classic like WWE trope of like someone calling someone out and then like then it was like a big debut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I was like, holy shit, who's going to like come out?
You thought it would be Marty, didn't you?
I might have thought it would be Marty, but it's not because I actually thought that'd be a good spot for him. It's because I just want Marty to show up.
And the WWE formula has beaten the idea into your head over and over again that that's what should happen.
Hmm. I really want Marty in the company, man.
It's probably going to happen eventually. Unless he goes to NXT.
I'll be super bummed out.
But you watch both shows. You should be like, whoop, whoop.
Well, no, yeah, I watch both shows, but I still think he'd be a better fit in one.
He'd work at NXT. He's one of those people who'd like, he'd die a death on the main roster, but he would do well in NXT.
I just think there's stories to tell with him in AEW that I'd to see.
He can't have needlessly long matches with Okada anymore.
I mean, he can.
Oh, yes, well, you can go to another company and do that, I suppose. That is true.
I'm still fighting for there being a Bushiroad AEW connection.
Eventually.
I'll never give up on it.
It's all a work.
Everything's a work.
The Dark Order defeated the Jurassic Express, combination of Jungle Boy, Jack Perry, and Marco Stunt. Yeah, perfectly fine match. The Dark Order,
is starting to work.
Yeah, they're at least finally starting to like it. Like they told you they're a cult the whole time, but like they've never done anything remotely cult related. They've just been mean looking guys who beat people up and have mediocre matches. And at least after this match, they finally had Evil Uno get in the mic and be like, "Hello, Marco Stunt. Would you like to be one of my minions?" And Marco Stunt was like,
He was like, and then he should have flossed.
That would have been the most revolting thing I would have ever seen in my life.
So I'm guessing you're anti-floss in wrestling? There was that phase when everyone was flossing?
I'm anti any trendy dance in wrestling. It's just like, no, don't do it.
I think you're anti-dance.
I am anti-dance. Unless it's like interpretive dance, that's art.
I'm just thinking of the one time I was in class and I did interpretive dance as like a comeback to a teacher.
What was the question?
Okay, if I remember correctly...
Mm-hmm.
I was being dismissed from the class forcibly.
Why? What did you do? Were you a troublesome student, Liam?
I might have been a troublesome student growing up. And I was being ejected from the classroom. And I said something about... Like, they were yelling at me for jumping around, and I just said something, it's interpretive dance, and I kept going. And they just got progressively angry at me as I was dancing in front of the classroom.
As someone who spent 6 months teaching students, I hate you. You're the problem with the world, Liam. As someone who was there was only one teacher with whom I had, like, real problems with, but I insist she started it. So, other than that, I was a perfectly pleasant student, so I cannot relate.
I came from, like, a school that was, like, religious. And, like, and we all kind of had a... Every, like, 5 or so years, there would be a year level that was just the troublesome year level. And that was my year level.
So you're saying you were the Ricky Gervais of this religious school?
Well, no, because it wasn't, like, atheist stuff. It was just... boredom towards, and maybe a rebellious, maybe I was the original heavy metal rebel.
So that's why you relate with the Dark Order, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's why I want to floss with the Dark Order, I believe, is what I was trying to get around to.
You would have accepted the mask from Evil Uno.
Oh, for sure. But I want his mask. His mask is way cooler than the minions. Or the creepers, whatever they call them.
They're minions. I don't care. I don't care.
Well, they call the creepers.
Fine. After Marcus Hunt declined, they beat them up. The match was, it was a decent match.
It was a pretty fun match, I will admit. I was like, one of those things where I was just sitting there, I was like, you know, this isn't going to make, like, an end of the year list or anything, but, like, this is just fun.
Jungle Boy's great.
Yeah. And the now newly dubbed Grayson, no Stu, he's just so much fun to watch too. He does stuff that you think you're going to die, bro.
And J.R. had a rare good line. It's like, Grayson's getting over the loss of his first name.
That's great. J.R. likes Grayson.
Because he's, like, super impressive and athletic. You can't, yeah, like,
but,
not
like,
like,
so him. Are a lot of people on this roster, and he doesn't like them.
Apparently Grayson goes for pinfalls enough for him to get over it.
I was just... He puts over... Every time I watch a Dark Order match, I just note how much Jim Ross likes Grayson. What do you think of the choice to drop the Stu?
I think Stu Grayson is a weird name for a stable called the Dark Order. It's like Evil Uno and Stu Grayson. It's like, that's not a very malicious sounding, but neither is Grayson, really. But
Evil Uno and Grayson.
I have no real take on it.
But Grayson is for the good superheroes.
Sure.
The Nightwing reference, Garrett.
I watch Titans, I know.
Can we turn this into a Titans review podcast?
Have you watched any of Season 2?
I have not watched Season 2. Season 1 put a bad taste in my mouth by the end of it.
Why?
I didn't like the last episode where they did, like, the alternate reality deal.
That's a trope that they do in every comic book show. It's like, alright.
Yeah, but, like, don't do it for your big, like, finale episode when I'm trying to get answers to things that are happening.
That's an episode of the week. That's not a finale.
Yeah, like, that's what bummed me out about it. But I've still heard that Season 2 was about the same level as Season 1, so...
I've seen the first episode of Season 2.
Oh, I was gonna say spoilers.
All right.
But did you care? Do the people care? Do you care about Titans Season 2 spoilers?
Well, I don't remember. I watched it like 2 weeks ago, so I don't remember what happened in the first episode of Titans Season 2.
Spoilers for Titans Season 2. When Dick Grayson does take on the Nightwing mantle. When he takes on the Nightwing mantle, I will be very excited because Nightwing is my favorite superhero and he's very rarely represented in live-action cinema.
He's represented in the most important live-action cinema of all, Liam. WWE Monday Night Raw!
Is he?
The Ricochet Nightwing gear.
Oh. Sure.
That's the most important representation of Nightwing that you could possibly need. It's all you need.
What about AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite?
After the match, they beat up the Jurassic Express, and Luchasaurus made a return, hitting his weird... Luchasaurus is weird.
He's such, like, a weird thing to be the coolest.
He's, like, awkward and gangly, and, like, some of his stuff kind of looks like shit, but some of it looks amazing.
His tail whip was kind of messy on this one.
And like with some of the creepers running at him on the ramp. Not great.
But I like Luchasaurus, man.
There's like a whimsy and a charm to his not greatness. And like he does, like his step up dives and the standing moonsaults are objectively great.
As Jungle Boy says in his episode of Wrestlers Eating Room Service, everyone liked dinosaurs at once. And if they didn't, they're an asshole.
That's true. Dinosaurs are dinosaurs are like a universal light thing. Mostly because we killed them all off and they can't hurt us.
Yeah. Are dinosaurs your favorite animals because they won't revolt?
Yes, they won't revolt because they're all dead. They lost to the meteor and then the Ice Age.
They lost to the meteor?
Yeah. Listen, there's been extinction events before and we're still here. So suck it, dinosaurs.
What extinction events have we avoided?
I don't know, there's been a couple of extinction events in the history of mankind, where like 95% of the Earth's population has been wiped out.
This is now a history podcast.
Yeah, there was one in Russia, I can't remember what it was, where like an entire forest was eradicated by a meteor, and that created a worldwide extinction event due to the impact.
But we just like said, fuck it.
Yeah.
We don't care. We're cool about it.
Most importantly, we have the Jungle Boy Luchasaurus theme back together, so that makes me happy.
Poor Marco.
Marco's fine as like the guy who takes bumps for people they're wrestling. Like, if you're like, do you want to see Marco as a regular wrestler on the show? I'd probably say no. Do I have any objection to Marco's role on the show? I would also say no.
I'd be curious to see how he does to a non-hardcore crazy person audience like us.
I think, like, Marco gets hipster backlash because he got over as a meme, and then all memes eventually get tiresome and everyone turns on the meme eventually. And like the cool kids have turned on the meme. But like Marco's like he's charming and likable. Leave him alone.
He seems like a swell guy.
Darby Allin versus Sean Spears versus Peter Avalon, which is sure a match to put on television.
Like, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of just these random triple threat, random fatal four-way things that they do. Give me a reason for this.
Sean Spears made his entrance, and I was like, oh no, it's a Sean Spears match. And then Peter Avalon made his entrance, and then it's like, oh no, Sean Spears against Peter Avalon? And I was like, oh, maybe they're a team. Then Darby Allin made his entrance, and I thought, oh, the match is Sean Spears and Peter Avalon against Darby Allin and Joey Janela. But like, nope, it's a triple threat. But then Joey comes out anyway to run out Sean Spears, and Darby Allin gets... I suppose like the end goal is Darby gets a win on television. I think that's basically the...
Yeah, it's Darby gets a win on television and can cut a promo after.
Yeah, and then you can advance Janela in there too. But yeah, what a weird match. Allin against Spears against the Librarian.
Yeah, and of course it ends with Darby pinning Peter Avalon with the coffin drop. A gnarly coffin drop too.
Yeah, it was probably the best coffin drop he's hit on TV.
That was an impactful one.
And I think most importantly after the match, Darby Allin called out Jon Moxley.
And it got a reaction. Darby's it a star, did. Man.
Darby's over. And rightfully so, because Darby is great. And after Jon Moxley obviously made the open challenge at the start of the show and later in the show, Darby Allin's like, yeah, I'll take you on. And that match is next week. So, yay!
As much as I think the match may be better if it was some sort of no-holds-barred plunder match, I would prefer if it's just a straight-up match, because I want to see how they go in that environment.
Yeah, and I don't want Mox to be pigeonholed as the hardcore guy. As much as he can do that, I don't want to see him do that every single damn week.
I don't need to have that kind of... Like, this is a different topic entirely, but I don't need to have that kind of match on every single AEW big show, I feel.
They've had a lot of them, haven't they? Like, it's very TNA in that, like, we have the Abyss match where he just falls through thumbtacks. And that's AEW has kind of done an equivalent of that on the majority of their shows.
Yeah. I would prefer... prefer the big New Japan style epic main events. Like that. Like I want Kennedy to do that more so than I want him to do random Attitude Era plunder turned up to 11.
Which I'd imagine, I don't think he'll be doing that unless he's so obsessed with Moxley that he can't get away from it.
I mean, in general, not necessarily Kenneth, he was just an easy example.
Nyla Rose defeated someone named Danny Jordan. Squashed her. Nothing much to
it. I had that later on my list.
You forgot it happened?
No, I had it later down on my notes.
Well, what did you have happening between now and then?
A promo that we're probably going to talk about next.
Yeah, Dustin Rhodes is injured, out for a while. there's, I think they said like 4 weeks.
But he will be on commentary for AW Dark.
Nice. And next week we have a 12-man battle royal for a diamond ring. It's a WCW thing. They did Battle Bowl. But like, why?
Is this a mid-card title?
The ring?
Is the ring a mid-card title?
I'd imagine not.
Cody likes to do that. He made the Ring of Honor title a ring.
He does love his rings.
And I thought they were going to be like, and the winner gets a ring and the number one contendership or something, but...
Or even if it's like a ring and $100,000, but no, it's... They get a ring.
A diamond ring?
It is a diamond ring. It's probably of some value.
What if it's like something that's going to end in like a proposal?
who's not
Kip Sabian? Kip Sabian wins it and proposes to Penelope Ford after.
And then Joey Janela gets pissed.
Did you see that Joey Janela tweet about that?
No.
Someone asked him on Twitter, are you going to feud with Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford? And he said, I'd rather go back to delivering pizzas.
At least Kip Sabian... Oh yeah, we never mentioned Full Gear. Full Gear was on Saturday.
Yeah, I was thinking since we didn't mention it, maybe we could like do a little cut and we'll do like a separate Full Gear thing. Even if it's just like a 15-minute thing.
Do you want to talk about it at the very end?
Yeah, well, we'll talk about it at the end. Just a quick little rundown of Full Gear.
So if you want Full Gear takes, it'll be at the very end, even after NXT.
Even after our self-promotion.
Yes, we'll do the plugs and then, hey, Full Gear. Allie got beaten up by Awesome Kong. She's killed twice in a year now.
Yeah. I'm really scared about that knife, man.
Do you think she's going to accidentally cut somebody?
Maybe, or like, I thought about when she was flipping it out. What if she just flicks off her finger and goes into the crowd?
Yeah, she's doing like the knife twirling, like Shane McMahon does with a kendo stick, except with a knife. So yeah,
it's like, cool as shit. Like? What do you think of this whole Awesome Kong Brandy thing, now that we've seen it as an actual angle?
It's strange. I wonder if they're going to do some weird voodoo crap, where like she's controlling the people who think, no, well, please don't do that.
Yeah, that's a little too far one way.
Where it's like Bea Priestley and Allie are in her stable because she's manipulating them via voodoo. I was sad that like Allie is finally on Dynamite. It's like, it's Allie! Oh yay, Allie's on oh no, she's just fodder for Kong and Brandy.
I really hope Kong will be able to go when it's necessary.
I really hope they do something with Allie. She's doing nothing. Poor Allie. Allie's great. Do something with Allie, AEW.
I don't know, man. All of her dark performances, she's been like the weakest person in the match.
All those dark matches are bad, though.
They're not, though.
They are.
We've reached an impasse.
I say as someone who's half watched them. Let's move on to something good.
Wait, before we go, I want to do one more thing.
What?
As someone who's probably seen more Awesome Kong matches than a majority of the people listening to this,
mm-hmm.
and who has witnessed a number of Awesome Kong attires,
mm-hmm.
what do you think of Awesome Kong's new gear?
It's pretty good.
It's so bright.
It's very bright. I like. Remember she had that old like bright red gear in TNA?
Yeah. Awesome cool. Kong's the best, man.
Yeah, it's a shame she's, like, old and her knees are gone, and her back is gone especially, I think, but...
It's just time. Time will come for us all, but I hope Awesome Kong will be able to deliver when it's necessary, because I think, a match with her bullying Riho would be really cool.
Yeah, at the very least, I want a cool match of her beating the crap out of Riho and Riho making their big Gail Kim comebacks.
Yeah, if we can get that, this whole run will not be for naught.
And then, of course, we'll transition into Brandi Rhodes against Riho, which is the more important match.
Yay.
Le Champion, Chris Jericho arrived and gloated. Like, even before MJF showed up, this Jericho promo was great.
Yeah, I want Jericho to get a 10-minute talking segment every week.
So Jericho's like, Cody is an entitled millennial son of a bitch and I beat him. And everyone in Nashville's a hick. And then Cody's music hits. And I was like, whoa, wrestling.
People really hate the term hick.
Well, I'd imagine, like, this is the go-to cheap heat for, like, everybody in Nashville, so they're probably...
And they're just like, ugh.
Yeah. It has, like, an extra layer of hatred, because it's kind of lazy.
That's the best insult to lazy insults.
Yes, there's a meta layer of hatred underneath it, because that's the go-to everybody mocks Nashville by calling them hicks.
Makes sense.
So Cody's music hits, everyone goes nuts. The big chandelier rises. It's MJF.
That was so good, man.
He's the biggest heel you've probably seen on television in a very long time. Like, actual heel. Not like Baron Corbin standing out there and people, like, oblige him and eventually get bored.
They're not booing because they have to. They're booing because they don't like him.
Cody is their hero, their savior, and MJF screwed him over. And then MJF cuts... I will say about MJF's promo, I think MJF's promo was tremendously well delivered, but I wanted more for like why he turned. Like, why did you choose that moment to turn on him? And he's like, Cody is actually the bad guy. And then give me the why. Why is Cody the bad guy?
I think that they may be saving that for when he's not in the ring with Chris Jericho.
That's true. Jericho was like, MJF comes out and it's like, Chris, 1 minute, I have something to address. And I like the way Chris is like, carry on.
Yes, of course. Of course, my son.
Oblige. And then MJF does his big promo. As a tremendously well delivered. That man is 23 years old on national television in front of a very good Nashville crowd. And like doesn't miss a beat. He's on.
I know that comparing MJF to other wrestlers is like a tired thing at this point. Mm-hmm. But while he was cutting that promo, I was like, he has the exact same cadence as Punk. Like, nice. When Punk would cut those promos, like, not like... Content-wise, whatever, but like the way he spoke, and he had the same cadence as Punk did.
MJF is rich, and that means he's better than you. Just replace Straight Edge with Rich.
Yeah,
and basically, it's the same promo.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah, eventually they go back to Jericho, and they do a who's on first routine where neither man wants to admit they want the other man in inner circle. So MJF is like, invite me.
They're doing a 2002 Raw promo. That's what they're doing.
I think the bit was fine the first time they did it.
See, I didn't mind it either time. I'm just it was straight up like some 2002 Raw stuff.
Yeah, but the second time they did it, it's like, all right, guys, you just did this joke.
So, is MJF in the inner circle now?
Well, Cody comes out. Everyone's like, oh my god, Cody's here. They botch a power slam, which again, it's funny the people JR chooses to protect. It's like the EVP botches a power slam and JR pops up. It's like, oh, it's the injuries from Saturday. If someone else did it, it's like, oh, that JR grumble.
Oh, they did it because they didn't take a pinfall. That was Vince. Ooh. That wasn't JR.
You'll get onto JR more in the Hangman Page match. But, yeah, Cody comes out. MJF beats him up and chokes him with his tie after Wardlow appears.
Yeah, Wardlow with a Burberry tie.
Yes, he's very fancily dressed because he is the thug of MJF. But yeah, they never officially said that he is in the inner circle. I don't think he should be in the inner circle, especially because you'd have to add Wardlow too, and that's 7 people in the inner circle instead of 5, and that's far too many.
They are inner circle adjacent, but not members.
And I think they will do this bit where like they flirt with each other again.
Yeah, there'll probably be a time where there's some sort of a backstage MJF Jericho interaction, and then like Hager and Wardlow like eye each other off, kind of a deal.
Just stand there looking mean.
Yeah, it's like, look at my big tough guy, now look at my big tough guy.
What were we saying about MJF before I pivoted to the end of the angle?
I was talking about if he was in the inner circle, I think, but that was it.
Yeah, so I don't think so.
Yeah, no. MJF's great. We all knew this. How do you feel about them going for the more obvious route of MJF bad guy instead of the proposed route that we saw around a lot on Twitter that MJF would have come out of this the babyface with Cody turning on him?
He's the biggest heel in the company. I can't say it didn't work.
And it's like, even if they tried that, from what we saw at Full Gear with MJF, like, he was in a sympathetic role there. Him throwing in the towel wasn't necessarily a heel thing, but that crowd wasn't going to let it be a babyface thing.
Yeah, I think it was... If that was the finish they were going for that match, I think the turn was the smart move, because Cody would have looked like an idiot otherwise.
Yeah. I need an explanation of why, like, was it just like MJF was like, oh, well, he can't win the big one, fuck him, he's not worth it? Or was it like, we need some answers, MJF, we need to sit down with JR?
That's what I wanted from this segment. That's my biggest flaw in the segment, in that as good as MJF's promo was, he actually kind of just said nothing.
Yeah, like, I think we wait for some sort of a sit-down.
I want explanation of turns.
You'll get it, I think.
Or I'll just ignore it. Oh, the Chris Jericho Hoovy line in this promo was great as well.
And probably true.
Probably true. He was conceived during a Chris Jericho Juventud Guerrero match on Saturday night. I don't think they ever wrestled on Saturday night. I think it's a lie.
Oh no.
They wrestled plenty of times, but I don't think it was on WCW Saturday night.
We can find out by going to the Voices of Wrestling Twitter at Voices Wrestling.
Nice. The Bastard Pack defeated Hangman Page in a really damn good match. Probably a reasonable step better than their pay-per-view match.
I liked it more than the pay-per-view match, and I liked the pay-per-view match a lot. I just sort of played so well off of like going for the same spots and like teasing them, and yeah, it was all around just great stuff.
Because yeah, they teased the low blow again, and Page blocked it again, but this time Hangman, or this time Pac got the better of it, and Pac went for the brainbuster on the chair on the floor, but Hangman,
which is a great spot. That looked killer at Full Gear.
Yeah, and he reversed into a very good looking brainbuster of his own on the floor. Our finish was Pac kicked him in the head a bunch, and they kicked him in the head some more before hitting him with a Black Arrow and Brutalizer for the win. Which
I'm glad Pac won this. The rubber match.
Where do you think Pac goes? Kenny?
I think Kenny's still got to do something with Mox. I don't think that's done yet. I don't think it'll run its whole way to the next big show. But I don't think that's the end of Mox and Kenny.
Because I think the decision to put Pac over Hangman... Page has been, I think, successfully rehabbed since All Out. Page is back to, I think, where he was before then. But like, you don't put Pac over Hangman Page again here unless you plan to pivot to Pac versus somebody.
Jericho? He doesn't really have a top tier challenger.
And that's heel versus heel. Would that work?
You could maybe turn Pac, Shades of Grey.
But like, realistically, in a match between Pac and Jericho, Jericho's probably going to be the one that's going to be cheered there, not Pac.
Yeah. All right, let's... Again, it's like we say this often, but it's like, this company hasn't burned us enough to not give them the benefit of the doubt. So, let's see how it plays out.
It's not a bad thing. I'm just interested to see where does it go. Like, they're setting him up for something. The question is what?
I would have put Pac over here, though. Mainly because, to me, Pac is the lowest ranking main eventer. And Hangman is the highest ranking upper mid-carder. And I don't know if I'm ready to swap those two.
Indeed. We had the Bucks brawling with Proud and Powerful.
This is great.
We've been called Proud and Powerful enough that I will finally concede Proud and Powerful is officially their name.
P&P.
They brawled backstage. They brawled into a bathroom in which Orange Cassidy was just standing in.
This segment was brawls, dives, powerbombs, and lies.
Yeah, oh, the lie bit was hilarious. It's Brandon Cutler is like, back off, and they back off, and then Ortiz is like, we lie! And they continue to attack
on the anniversary of Eddie Guerrero's death.
That's amazing.
It's a subtle, like, a subtle reference, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like I was going to mention this during NXT, but like Mauro was like, Hector, or was it Beth? I think it might have been Beth. It was like, Hector Garza is like Eddie Guerrero. It's like, stop.
Yeah. It was Beth talking about Angel Garza.
Oh yeah, Angel Garza, yeah. It's like, he's like Eddie Guerrero. It's like, no, just nobody is invoked more in the history of pro wrestling than NXT invokes Eddie Guerrero. Just stop it.
It's definitely because like the only matches they watch down there are Eddie matches, right?
It's clearly the only matches they watch in freaking tape study are Eddie Lie, Cheat, and Steal matches. And yeah. That's where their inspiration comes from.
I feel like let's get back to the PMP Young Bucks stuff, because like I think it's hard to talk about, because like what are we gonna do, just rattle off the spots that happened? But yeah. Like, okay, let's do that then.
They had a wild brawl, slammed through a table. Nick Jackson jumped off something again. They're taking turns jumping off of things.
They broke Nick's leg a bunch.
Yeah, Orange Cassidy's in the bathroom, which was a good spot.
Great reaction.
But they brawled through the commercial, came back the other side of the commercial, then they were out in front of the stage. They attacked Nick Jackson's leg with a slapjack and then powerbombed Matt through at the stage. And yeah, Proud and Powerful getting their heat back after winning.
So. As a Fight TV viewer, I appreciate them giving us like some extended content by letting us watch the entire brawl.
Oh yeah, you got to see how they got from the backstage to the ringside area.
And you could hear someone yelling at Nick, "We're still at break! We're still at break!" And of course, this segment ends with Private Party coming out and confronting Proud and Powerful. Proud and Powerful. I will fuck that up every week. And they confront them, and that match is made for next week.
along with John Moxley against Darby Allin. Those are two very good television matches, Liam.
And we also get to find out who wins the Dynamite Diamond Ring.
Sure, that too. SCU retained the World Tag Team titles against Chris Jericho and the Spanish God, Sammy Guevara, in, again, another perfectly fine but not particularly memorable Chris Jericho television main event.
Yep, that's exactly what we expect.
They had even another perfectly fine but not particularly memorable SCU title or tag team match, but...
It's a pretty good match, and it's cool seeing Kazarian and Jericho in the ring together.
Yeah, two old-timey veterans. It's like Kazarian been wrestling for, I think they said 21 years, Jericho for 27. It's like, good God.
Yeah, there's not much to say about it, unfortunately. Like, Scorpio gets the roll-up win on Jericho.
If you had Scorpio Sky being the first person to score a pinfall over Chris Jericho in AEW, you are a smarter man than I.
And hopefully, I don't know, Scorpio will get some sort of a singles title match as a TV main event.
You know what I love? And like they've done it twice now, if they do it. Like, their two television title challengers have been Darby Allin and, hopefully, Scorpio Sky. I love that. I love, like, it's something New Japan don't do anymore. Or, like, they just give Kojima a Challenger of the Month spot. And I'd be like, yeah. That's the kind of thing I want. I want someone from the undercard just getting world title shots on TV in kind of lower stakes matches, but they're cool matches designed to elevate Scorpio Sky or elevate Darby Allin instead of just doing like main eventers against main eventers. I love mid-carders getting world title matches on TV, Liam.
Yeah, it's great. It's a fantastic trope and everyone should do it. Like, it's cause it's something that you don't expect to see. It's something different. And I also hope that we see the return of the Painmaker as he defends the title on TV once again.
You think he's going to break out the Painmaker for Scorpio Sky?
Yeah, and Scorpio Sky is going to bring out his old mask that he used to wear.
Everyone's going to have a good time. I did like Jericho's little hissy fit at the end of the show when he lost.
Yeah, and then like no, you couldn't see Sammy anywhere during it. It's just letting his dad like cool down.
Throw the guardrail around, start hitting the guardrail with a chair as they went off the air, and Sammy's just like, yeah, let him get it out of his system.
He's like, oh, I hate it when he gets it like this.
And also, they made that win feel more meaningful because Jericho was pissed about it. He's not just laughing it off.
Yeah. And, like, man, they are giving this Scorpio Sky thing the good old try, aren't they?
Well, the first week it really worked, and if you're like, hey, Gard, do you think Scorpio Sky will be a single star at AEW? My answer, I'd probably say no. I don't think this will propel Scorpio Sky to new and greater heights. But why not try?
Yeah, why not try with anyone? Like, give everyone a shot at it. Like, you never know who will be the one to connect.
I didn't like the show live, and I like it more now. I still don't think the first hour was great. But the second hour was probably real good.
This was the first time in AEW Dynamite history that when I reached the second hour, I was like, oh, that first hour was kind of meh.
Yeah, because it was like, there was the Nyla squash, which was meh, and the Jungle Boy tag, which was pretty good, and the Moxley squash, which was a squash, and the Darby Allin match was 3 minutes. It was like just too many bitty segments for my taste.
The most forgettable first half of a Dynamite, for sure.
Even if it did do a very good job of returning Luchasaurus, well, he got a good reaction, and John Moxley against setting up John Moxley against Darby Allin, so it has that going for it. But the second hour was, now that I look back on it, that second hour with the Jericho and MJF promo, and with the Hangman Page and Pac brawl, and with the match in with the LAX proud and powerful brawl, and then the pretty good main event, but notable main event, very good second hour.
Yeah. Basically, give us that second hour all the time.
Which takes us over to WWE NXT, which opened with Lio Rush against Angel Garza for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship in a very good match that, God, I hate the NXT crowd.
I was going to save all that for later.
We're getting straight into the NXT crowd. The way they react to things just never feels authentic. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. They're like, they're almost leading the action, and it annoys me. It's like, just cool your jets for 25 seconds, crowd, and respond to things organically.
I'm going to disagree a little bit in that I prefer the NXT crowd when it's like this, for like this kind of match, than when it's like Roderick Strong, Keith Lee, where they're just kind of sitting on their hands but still going, whoa.
But you see, the reason they're sitting on their hands is because they like tire themselves out after two matches. by, like, fake. It's phony. It feels phony. Like, and you can tell it's phony because they get tired of doing it by the end of the show.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But, like, I wish they could keep up the phoniness if they're going to do it.
Yeah, it may take, yeah, work on your stamina, NXT crowd. If you're going to be phony, at least be phony for 2 hours.
Yeah, because, like, this match ruled. And that crowd, they were working for me in the crowd, like, for this match. For a match that I didn't care much about, that won, eventually won me over in a big way. Like, I was fine with the crowd in this match. I prefer them like this than I'd prefer them basically for any other segment on the night.
Yeah, this was a real good match. Leo Rush retained the title against Angel Garza, and probably Angel Garza's best match I've ever seen him in.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't seen anything better. The NXT Cruiserweight title has been such a welcomed addition to the show for me.
Mm.
Like, so far it's only been used as, like, the opening title, the opening match a couple weeks, but, like, I've still, like, it's still fun, and both of those matches were really good, so...
And Leo Rush is great, so thank God he's back on television.
Back on television doing, like, relatively quick, steal-in-the-show-style matches for a title that I like. So shout-outs to Leo Rush. Now let's NXTify that title and make it not purple.
I like the purple title.
Grow up, Garrett.
You don't want to erase 205 Live from existence, Liam. Come on.
Yes, you do. You want to erase it and never talk about it. Because except for that 1 8-month run where it was really good.
With Big Bud and Cedric, yeah, and cool matches.
Yeah, just post Mustafa Ali. Post Mustafa Ali 205 we just ignore.
Cool. Well, it's Buddy Murphy. Mustafa Ali left before Buddy Murphy.
Okay, fine. I'll give Buddy credit too. He was delivering some pretty banger matches.
Your big match Buddy, Australian hero. Probably the best. Is he the best Australian wrestler in the world?
Today? It's either him or Robbie Eagles.
Hmm.
Or Will Ospreay.
Who is spiritually Australian. Will Ospreay is spiritually from everywhere.
I had a weird, awkward side hug with Will Ospreay. He's one of us.
Oh, well, there you go. You've embraced him.
Yes.
You've never given me a weird, awkward side hug, Liam.
You've never wrestled in MCW, have you?
Not yet.
Oh, coming soon.
Tegan Nox and Rhea Ripley were attacked backstage because NXT love their backstage attacks, don't they?
I didn't see this segment.
What do you mean you didn't see this segment?
On the totally legitimate TV stream that I watched this through, didn't show it.
Okay.
So I missed this segment.
They were jumped backstage, it's fine.
It cut to Moro talking about how they had been jumped, and I was like, huh?
Xia Li defeated Aliyah after she kicked her right in the damn face.
Yay.
Oh, do we have flags?
But no, before that, we got a recap of Shayna on Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, I skipped because who cares? I don't want to watch Raw and SmackDown.
Well, you don't have to because they have a recap of Raw and
SmackDown. I don't even want to watch the recap of Raw and SmackDown, Liam. That's how I'm like, ugh.
Will you be watching Survivor Series?
I'll see if anything's good.
I feel like I'm going to watch any match that has an NXT superstar because I'm committed to the podcast and I'm committed to the bit.
You're so professional you didn't watch the segment we just talked about. Or the opening segment of AEW.
For reasons.
But you'll watch Survivor Series.
I'll watch Roderick Strong versus AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
That match would have been great 5 years ago, wouldn't it?
5 years ago, it would have been like the three best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah. Oh, well. Xia Li kicked Aliyah in the face and beat her. She, like, broke her nose.
Is Vanessa Bourne a manager or a wrestler?
Couldn't tell you.
Like, has she wrestled in the time that we've been watching this show?
I don't think she's wrestled on this show, but I believe she has wrestled on NXT.
Yeah, but that was before the USA era. So maybe is she out of position out of that role now?
She just stands next to Aliyah as Aliyah has her face broken by kicks.
Yeah. Poor girl.
She really kicked her in the damn face. But do you think that was meant to be the finish?
No, it seemed weird, right?
Yeah, it seemed pretty sudden. Like, he kicked her in the face. Her face was very much broken, and then she
seemed like that was a shoot pin.
Yeah. So your one is just, Aliyah's just like, I'm not kicking out. My face hurts. Like,
she's thinking, seeing stars.
Yeah, she's not there. She's not there to kick out.
She didn't even try.
Thanks to legendary rapper Nas, I can use the reference that Jai Ali has more than a baby has. What? I can't even. More than a baby. I can't even. I got the quote wrong. It's dumb. Oh,
sick.
Sorry. Has more kicks. Thanks to the legendary rapper Nas, I can use the reference that Jai Ali has more kicks than a baby in a mother's stomach.
I like that he references that he's referencing a reference.
There was a point in the show where he's like, he referenced, I think, Yokozuna. I think Bronson Lee did a Yokozuna move. And he's like, maybe one day Bronson Lee could do something and then I can reference it. And in my head, I'm like, the pinnacle for Mauro is like somebody doing something that he can, like, that's the peak is him being able to reference something. Then you've made it if Mauro can reference you doing something.
Yeah, he wants to be referenced.
Finn Balor came out. I don't care about anything that happened here.
Before that, we got a Killian Dane Pete Dunne recap.
I don't care about the recaps, Liam.
For a match that shouldn't happen.
Well, and it didn't, so.
The note that I wrote when I saw this was, oh no, a Dane match.
Well, it didn't happen, so you should be happy.
Wait till we get to my note for when we get to that match.
Finn Balor came out and he's mean to Johnny Gargano again for some reason, and then Matt Riddle attacked him.
Like, what is Finn Balor's character?
He's
whiny
angry.
Man?
Like, why is he angry at Johnny Gargano? He's like,
but there's an easy story there, and they're not telling it. They're like,
yeah,
it's like the boys in the back aren't tough enough. This is his character, and that's just weird, man.
Especially for Finn Balor. Why is that Finn Balor? Is Mr. Tough Guy Finn Balor?
Why is Finn Balor doing a Silas Young character?
He's like, oh, these boys don't have anything. When I was in NXT, they were men. It's like, what are you talking about?
And we got Riddle attacking Balor halfway through.
That he's been taken out of War Games to wrestle Finn Balor, and Dijak has taken his place, but then they still don't have a fourth member.
Velveteen Dream.
Probably. Do you think this was the plan all along? If this is the plan all along, that's doubly stupid.
I don't think this was the plan all along.
Well, you were insistent that Dream was going to be in War Games, and I guess if this was the plan all along, then that kind of makes sense, even if it's stupid. And if it's something they decided to do as a replacement for John Boy being injured, I think it's also just kind of stupid.
Yeah, but I thought it was going to be ACH in the War Games match with Lee, Dream, and Ciampa.
Oh, well, we know that's not going to happen.
No.
Undisputed Era came out, Tommaso Ciampa and Keith Lee came out. They had a little standoff, and that led into a very boring Keith Lee against Roderick Strong match.
I was so excited for this. When they were setting it up, I was like, yes.
I saw the lineup for NXT. It's like, oh, Roderick Strong and Keith Lee. That's a fun match. And then they just went forever and did nothing.
It was good moves, but it was so lifeless.
Yeah.
Like, they were just doing moves to a crowd that didn't really give a shit.
There was no energy. There was no urgency. There's just meandering, doing moves for 17 minutes. And Keith Lee, and then they had freaking everyone brawled a little at ringside to the finish.
Finn showed his abs.
As one does. That's pretty sweet. The man looks good in the leather jacket and the tight pair of pants. I'll give him that.
It's almost as if he was some sort of a model.
Yeah, Keith Lee beat Roderick Strong.
Like, I forgot the Keith Lee one.
Keith Lee won the match. You wouldn't even this match. This was so disappointing.
Yeah, I was so excited for this match too. Keith Lee was wearing his nice trunks. I was like, yeah, everything's cool. And then nope, just nothing.
So after the match, we had the setup, basically. Dijakovic made the save, and the setup, him being added to War Games and Riddle being taken out.
Then we go backstage where the horsewomen have been murdered, which means what? It wasn't Shayna that did it. Who could have done it?
And Candice LeRae was also there.
And Scarlett was there. I blame Scarlett. I think she did the whole thing.
So, like, I guess the idea here is we were meant to think it's Dakota Kai, right?
The idea here was at first we were meant to think it was Shayna because it was the opposing team. And then we're thinking, oh, maybe Dakota Kai retaliated. But then we also saw Candice. So by then we click that it's someone from Raw or SmackDown.
So, like, was it Bayley?
It was Bayley, yes.
They never tied a button. I didn't put that I was like,
the implication was that it was Bayley going around doing it.
That's kind of stupid.
Which, because I didn't want it to be Bailey. I wanted it to be Sasha and Bailey.
Or, like, I thought it was Kaylee Ray, but then I was like, oh, wait, the horseman. She had to, I thought, like, oh, Kaylee Ray's attacking them, and the setup is that we're supposed to think it's Dakota Kai, but then it turns out it's Kaylee Ray, and that's a twist. But, like,
no, she
it's
wasn't,
just
she,
Bailey?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just Bailey. That's it's just Bailey.
That's a waste of our show running angle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. In a match of the jobbers to the stars, which one of them is more of a priority to job to someone else next week? Isaiah Scorer of Scott. Actually, no, do we have more quotes? Oh, we do for this match. Isaiah Swerve Scott is clearly the bigger priority because he beat Bronson Reed in another just of again of the recent
thanks
NXT TV
Bronson
sprints.
Reed for your one match push.
Yeah, again, and Isaiah Scott will lose to somebody else next week and have his one match.
I hate it so much.
They're just like the people on the undercard just take turns winning and then losing to people who are more
just
important.
Just let someone win and go on a bit of a run. Seriously, it's not that hard.
And Roderick Strong
I actually
beat
like
Isaiah
this match
Scott
too.
In order to lose to Keith Lee.
Yeah. I liked the match, though. It was a bit long, but I liked it.
I thought of the recent TV sprints, it was the worst.
What I wanted to say here, a little
of the recent
note,
TV matches involving these two people, it was the worst.
Probably, yeah. I wanted to make a little note here that after all of these like matches that Reed has, he always shakes hands after. And like, it's only him that does it. But he always shakes hands with the person that beat him. So like, is he just gonna like beat someone up and that's gonna be a subtle setup?
It's his eventual heel turn in 2 years when they eventually get around to pushing him will be that he will shake hands and then attack them.
What am I saying here is Bronson Reed doing a subtle Dolph Ziggler gimmick?
Sure.
You don't get this reference?
No, I don't.
Remember Dolph Ziggler's first character was that he would go around shaking hands?
Oh yeah, and he was like, hey, I'm Dolph Ziggler. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Wow.
As strong as lighting up Lee's chest like John Wick, and the wick of this match is burning bright.
I didn't even hear that one.
I don't even get it. Like, what does John Wick have to do with lighting people's chests up, other than... Does he shoot people in the chest a lot? Is John Wick known for his famous knife-edge chops?
No, he's not. He probably double taps to the chest, yeah.
The flyest in the room, Isaiah Zora's God, is so fly, he's a flight risk.
Do you get the flyest in the room reference?
Well, because I assume it's some kind of rap reference, because that's Mara.
It is a rap reference.
Please explain it to me, Liam.
To Travis Scott's latest single, Highest in the Room.
Ah, that's the second time he's compared Isaiah Scott to Travis Scott, isn't it?
I assume it's because that might have been where he got the Scott name.
That might make sense.
Yeah.
That
I don't mind flyest in the room for a nickname, by the way. Like, as, on a show that has terrible nicknames like the original Bro, flyest in the room ain't bad.
He doesn't do enough like proper flying for it. If he was more of a like pure high flyer, I would agree, but he's not. He's sort of a high flyer.
But he's fly, like he's not flying.
But if he did flying things and he was cool, it would be like a cool double meaning.
Yeah, but it's just a one, and also he's a flight risk. Maybe he's a flight risk because he's not great at flying and he may hurt himself.
He might hurt himself, yes.
Maybe that's
Mauro
why
just
he's a
accidentally
flight risk.
Buried him. Killian Dane and Pete Dunne were going to have a match, but thank God.
Before we get to that.
Oh, did we have a recap?
The
did
first
I forget a recap?
Edition of Flag Watch.
Oh, Flag Watch. What do you mean first edition? Like we haven't. Oh, first in this
show. Week. First right. This week. Backstage, as my phone goes off. At John J. Duffy is now following at WarGamesPod. Thank you, at John J. Duffy.
You followed us at the right time to get a podcast shout out.
Boom. Backstage, we saw Pete Dunne doing some push ups where we had a lovely, sort of a beige colored flag behind him. And I don't think this is a repeat flag. I think last time he had a flag, it was a British Strong Style flag.
So now he has his own singles flag.
Yes. And it was like kind of like an army man one.
I want to see, is there an NXT PR email and email them? It's like, who's making these flags?
And also, why aren't you selling them yet?
That's true.
There will be another flag later on.
Killian Dane and Pete Dunne were going to have a match before Killian Dane was attacked by Damian Priest.
Damian Priest turned into the biggest baby face for me because he ensured that I didn't have to watch this match.
What do you have against Pete Dunne against Killian Dane, Liam?
Killian Dane's matches are just so boring to me.
That's fair.
It's like, I didn't like the Riddle matches. I didn't really like anything else he's done. He was pretty good in the Sanity Tag stuff, but that's about it for me. I see that he's got a match on the card and I just kind of get a little sad.
Damian Priest is sort of NXT's Luchasaurus.
He kind of is, huh?
Without the whimsy.
Yeah. You know what this means, right?
What?
We're getting a War Games triple threat.
Yeah. Oh, there's so many triple threats on all of these shows.
It's almost like they have 100,000 people employed. They're going to have two War Games matches.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a triple threat.
And they're going to have Matt Riddle against Finn Balor.
Like, and they're probably going to have another, like, an NXT Cruiserweight title match on that show as well. It's like, they have so many people and they're trying to fit them all on these shows now.
That's a lot of people.
I think long gone are the days of the five-match takeovers soon.
It is pretty wild that, like, that they have 10 people, or no, it's 4-4, so I guess 16 people. 16 people taken up in the War Games matches, and they're still like, we have to cram a triple threat onto this show.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I saw this happening, I was like, man, it just kind of dawned on me how many people NXT has employed.
Oh, by the way, NXT's the War Games format is 5 minutes opening and then 3 minute intervals. 3 minute intervals is too long. Cut it to 2 minutes. You're wrong.
All right. Thanks. You showed them, Garrett. They will change their plans now.
Well, they'll do the matches. The matches will be on the boring side because they did 3 minute intervals, and then I will be proven right. So that's all that really I really need. All
right, Cody, when you do the eventual Inner Circle versus Elite War Games match, do it our way.
Yeah, do 5 minute. 5 minute opening can be long too, but I'll accept that. But 2 minute interval, 90 second intervals even, also good. 3 minutes, too long.
What if they're worked intervals and they're not actually that long?
What's the point of calling the 3 minute intervals then?
Make you mad.
Dakota Kai was backstage at Mia Yim and was like, I'm going to have your back. And she did.
And while this was happening, there was a flag in the background.
Oh, whose flag? Mia Yim?
Mia Yim had her flag. It's just her Titantron. What? Like, just the spray-paint Mia Yim. It's not the best flag we've seen.
You're disappointed the standard of the flags are dropping?
No, I don't think on a consistent basis they're dropping. It's just Mia Yim. She must have been, like, last in line to the flag giving out section. And they're like, oh, sorry, we just have a screenshot from your Titantron.
She's like, oh, she's probably jealous. She saw other people's flags. Like, hey, guys, where's my flag? And it's like, print this.
You weren't here for Flag Day? Flag Day at the PC? Flag Day at the PC! That sounds great.
Our main event, Io Shirai against Mia Yim in a ladder match. And like, what wasn't the greatest ladder match in the world, but Mia Yim died twice, so I can't really not call
it.
I gotta respect her because she got hit in the face with a ladder and really destroyed her face, and then she continued to work the match, and then she fell off a ladder through another ladder and literally died. Like, that's one of the worst bumps I've seen in a ladder match in a very long time. Worse in the sense that it looked devastating, not that it looked bad. In a ladder match that I've seen in a very, very long time.
Very on par with the Nick Jackson tripping on the top rope and eating shit through tables bump.
There's also the AC Romero fall off a ladder through a table at Bound. So
that one was
really
just scary.
There's actually been quite a few of these ladder bumps in the last 3 months, so I retract what I just said about Mia Yim's being the worst. No.
I'm sorry, Mia Yim.
But still, it looked devastating and amazing, and it looked like she had died. The ladder match, it was a pretty good ladder match. I'm not a fan of singles ladder matches.
It wasn't, like, a great ladder match in general, but it was a good WWE-style ladder match, because it was like, kind of a bit more reckless than a normal WWE-style ladder match. Plus, you got to remember, they probably couldn't have gone as all out as they wanted to, because they're doing a ladder match next week as well.
Adam Cole and Dijakovic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I imagine that one's going to be more of a... That's going to be more of everyone running in sort of a deal, I think.
This one was also probably a little too long.
Yeah, I wasn't... I don't think so, because I wasn't bored during it, so it's fine. And okay. I'm the one that matters.
Dakota Kai came out. They didn't quite tease, first of all, right here, okay? Okay.
Dakota Kai comes out, and it's all well and good. It's fine. Beth's fine with it. But then as soon as Kaylee Ray comes out, it's this travesty that's costing the match for the babyface. I hated that. There was bias on the commentary for this match.
Well, you could argue Dakota Kai never directly got involved with Io Shirai until Io Shirai hit Dakota Kai with a moonsault. So it was fair retaliation on behalf of Dakota Kai.
But why was she even out there?
She was there because her friend Mia Yim just got her face broken with a ladder, Liam.
This is silly. And they're picking favorites, and I don't appreciate it. I want impartial wrestling commentary.
NXT UK champion, or women's champion, Kaylee Ray came out. She is the fourth and final person on Shayna Baszler's team. I did like that Nigel McGuinness was the one that identified her, because he's British.
Okay.
He knows who she is, because he doesn't still do commentary on that show, does he? I don't know.
Is that a real show?
No, it's not. She's an imaginary wrestler who's an imaginary champion from an imaginary country.
Imaginary country?
Yeah.
Did you mean to say company?
No, I meant to say country. The United Kingdom? It's imaginary. Isn't Kaylee Ray Scottish?
Yeah.
Alright, she's fine.
She's one of the good ones.
Io Shirai won the symbolic
you
briefcase.
Step over that.
Moving on. Amaro kept cut. They hung a briefcase above the ring for the person. The numbers advantage in. I nearly said lethal lockdown. Numbers advantage in war games. Amaro's yes. Like, Io Shirai has grabbed the symbolic briefcase. And if you don't have something that makes sense to hang above the ring, don't do a ladder match.
Yes. We forgot Amaro quote.
One that diminished
that amazing spot that you were talking about.
I only wrote down one, and that's, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, although today it's 1,000 emojis.
Okay. Almost as bad as that. Mia Yim takes this crazy fall through the ladder, right? We're all going, whoa, what are that? And Maro utters with his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Holy bleep!
It's even worse, because he was like, Mama Mia Yim! Holy bleep!
I went from going, whoa, to going, ugh. You ruined that spot for me.
just shut up, Maro. If you're not going to curse, don't curse.
Holy bleep.
After saying Mama Mia Yim.
Mama Mia Yim. Holy bleep. That's a shirt.
It's probably a terrible looking shirt if it's an NXT shirt.
But it's literally just like the font that her name is in her entrance. Mama Mia Yim. And then on the back it just says, Holy bleep. In like Comic Sans.
Yeah. Maro really is walking Comic Sans.
If we have any graphic designers that listen to this, please make that as a mock-up. I won't pay you. It'll be for exposure.
All like 100 Twitter followers we have.
Hey, man, they're a good bunch.
Yeah, good, not great ladder match.
I thought it was a pretty fun show.
I thought the first match and the last match was good.
Oh, so what you're saying is the normal NXT.
And everything in the middle was just kind of boring.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the first hour. Like, I went into NXT being like, hey, you know, if NXT is a good episode of NXT this week, they're going to take it pretty easy.
Because right.
I didn't come out of AEW all that hot.
Yeah.
And then NXT had that boring-ass middle of the show.
I guess for you, Garrett, I'm going to break it down for you. Was the first half an hour and the last half an hour of NXT better than the second hour of AEW?
No. Also, the first hour of AEW wasn't as bad as the middle hour of NXT.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
It is my answer. If this was a good NXT week, NXT would have won. NXT are timing their good weeks badly.
Yeah, like, it's really what it is. Like, it's not necessarily that either one blows each other out of the water. It's just they got a time when they want to have a great show.
Yeah, it's like whenever AEW is not all that hot, NXT is just a little bit worse.
Yeah, but it's like, come on, you can do it. We believe in you, NXT, you're close.
Like, I legit did the NXT thinking, like, I think this show's going to be better, and then it wasn't.
What was your match of the day?
First of all, a Twitter poll, 340 votes.
Wait, 1%. I thought we were going to do that bit. I thought we did that bit last.
It does. Well, okay. Match of the day. It's between Leo Rush and Angel Garza and Pac and Hangman Page. I think I am leading Pac and Hangman Page.
I think I'm going to give it to Leo and Angel Garza.
Both are very good matches. Watch both matches.
Both, like, it's funny. I was thinking as I was watching Leo and that, I was like, these are basically the same match to me. Like, these are both the standout matches, and they're both quite similar to me. Just the go aspect of it, you know what I mean?
A better show, AEW.
It's such a throw up for me, honestly, because I think I liked the middle of NXT more than you.
Yeah.
Because I got to see someone get their head face kicked in. I got two flags this week.
That's all you need. AEW had no flags.
AEW did have no flags, so I'm going to give it to NXT this week.
Which means it goes to our fan vote.
What was my shtick that I was doing the first week when I went to the fan vote?
Democracy or something?
Democracy!
AEW defeated NXT 71% to 29% with 340 votes.
I didn't know it was that much.
It's like, I fully accept people are voting, like on, as I said to you, they're voting on party lines. They're voting on the show they like more. But it's interesting.
Don't do that, guys, please.
Yes, but we can't stop people. And people jump on the hashtags. But it's interesting. Every week, the first like 30 to 60 votes, NXT kills AEW. I don't know why this happens, but like the people that vote in this poll early go heavily NXT. And it's like 80-20 NXT.
You know why I think that might be?
The hashtag for NXT is more popular?
Well, yeah, all right, thanks.
Was that what you were going to say?
That was what I was going to say. I was going to say, I think WWE fans are more likely to be patrolling through the WWE NXT hashtag than AEW fans are to go through the Dynamite hashtag.
That's also my theory. So we're in sync there.
I really thought I was going to have something there, and you just... Bam.
I know you too well. All Elite Wrestling Full Gear. What you think of it?
We're going to break it down, or are we just going to do an overall thought?
We'll do overall thoughts.
As an overall show, everything that I thought I was going to like, I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And some things were kind of meh. I liked the main event a lot. I had some thoughts on the Twitter that got some reactions.
Because you asked me to retweet them.
Why are you going to call me out like that?
You're welcome for the numbers, pal.
I did it because I know you... I wanted the discourse, and I thought your followers could offer the discourse, because no one follows me.
You thought people that follow me would be just mad online? That's fair.
To be fair, they weren't really mad, but I did have some nice discussion about it. Mm. For people who don't know, I referenced the Gargano-Ciampa feud with the match as both being examples of just... spectacles and overindulgence in wrestling, but I thought that Omega and Mox was better because it wasn't telling me that it's some like high art storytelling while it was doing it.
They're just dragging themselves through glass.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, just do that. It's more fun. But yeah, as a whole show, it's not my favorite AEW show by any means. Like, of the big ones.
I think every match on this show was a little worse than I thought it would be. Yeah. Like, all of them. Like, across the board.
I liked PNP's gear. It was cool.
Yeah, are they baseball players? Is that what they're going for?
Yeah, I think I think it was a reference, because weren't they in, like... Where were they? Boston?
And
they
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Before that, I know, I got nothing.
yeah, that match was probably the most disappointing match on the show, despite being pretty good. It was, like, it was flat good, and from LAX and the Unbox, you'd expect it to be better.
You know what it was? It was worked differently than I'd expected to be worked.
I feel like the Young Bucks in their big tag team matches have taken too much to heart criticism of them, and they end up working these like Southern style tag matches instead of working like really good Young Bucks matches.
Yeah, I wanted 2013 PWG here.
And sometimes that works. Like, the Young Bucks against Golden Lovers match was kind of like that, but it worked.
And them and their Roppongi 3K stuff was really good like that, too.
Yeah, but this is the second time in AEW. It was them against the Rhodes Brothers, and now here again, where they've worked matches like that, and they haven't been particularly great.
All right, to be fair, I'm going to play a bit of devil's advocate here.
Okay.
As far as criticism goes...
Right.
Those matches were not as good as we'd expect, right?
Yeah.
but they got the same exact response for when they did the crazy PWG six-mans with Laredo Kid and the Lucha Brothers, and for the Lucha Brothers tag match. So they've done both styles, and both have been kind of meh at this point. Maybe it's not necessarily the style of match. Maybe there's just some sort of Young Bucks fatigue.
You think the Young Bucks are bad? Like, the ladder match with the few Lucha Bros was amazing. And, like, the TV match, which was very much the six-man tag with Kenny against the Hybrid 2 and Kip Sabian was very much, like, that PWG style of just spot, spot, spot. And that match was also great. So, like, and the Young Bucks against Private Party was very much a match like that. And that was also great. So, like, just do Young Bucks matches. Stop doing Southern tags.
Maybe they should stick to that style, but, like, go shorter.
Yeah, 21 minutes was too long. Just do a 13, especially in the opening match of a pay-per-view. Like, this debut opened with a 21-minute tag, followed by an 18-minute Hangman Page and Pac match. And then, yeah. And then Sean Spears and Joey Janela was only 12 minutes, but felt like 65.
To be fair, I'm a firm believer in the two most important matches are the first and last match.
But, like, don't have the first match be 21 minutes.
Oh, well, like, you can have the first match be 21 minutes, but don't have the second match be 18.
Yeah. The AEW have pacing problems. Like, the worst offender was Fight for the Fallen. That show was dreadfully paced on every level.
Yeah.
And this also had the same pacing problems, where everything on this show felt too long. Except Ryo Emi Sakura is probably the only exception. That felt maybe almost a smidge too short. I think if they tacked on another 2 minutes onto what they did, that match would have been even better. I thought that they had a very good match. They could have had a great match. But other than that, every match on the show was too long.
Yeah. That's been, like, a pretty consistent point for AEW and their big shows at this. I don't want to say point again, but point. So overall, for a show, give me a grade. Give me a letter grade for the show.
C plus, B minus.
Yeah, I was thinking B minus. Where does it rank?
It's worse than All Out. It's worse than Double or Nothing. It's probably on. It's probably worse than Fighter Fest. So I would have said it's better. It's better than Fight for the Fallen. So I'm gonna say second worst.
I'm gonna say third worst. I'm gonna say it's better than the two B shows, but the worst big show.
So yeah, it's easily the worst of the big three. Yeah.
Mm. And soon we'll be finding out what the next one is.
I'm surprised they didn't announce it at Full Gear.
I don't. Yeah. What do you think? What reference do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. Some. It's going to be a BTE story.
It's going to be a BTE story.
It's going to be full, like, Toy Story parody, but a pay per view.
Very good. Isn't that what we all want in the long run?
Or can people find you on the internet, Liam?
Find me wherever you want. Find me at LARRIKN. Find me at my behind the voice acting site as Liam J. I'm on that.
Cool.
If you want me for that.
Do you list this podcast on that site?
I don't. I should, hey.
It is a pretty good example of your voice.
I do talk for a time on it.
Though I will say, every time I drop our respective sound files onto the Audacity thing, it's like, oh, I talk much more than him. I should probably let him talk more.
Well, the thing is, like, when it's something that's, like, I'm kind of just meh on, I really don't have a lot to say about it. But it's like, but as you can see, like, when we were talking about the Kenny Omega New Japan video, I had a lot to say on that, because that was something that I was actually very passionate about. But I don't have the same thoughts about Zia Lee and Aaliyah.
She kicked her in the face. It was funny.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I don't say it's funny.
Funny is probably the wrong word.
That's a bit full on. It's a bit full gear. And Garrett, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Garrett Kidney, G-A, or E-D-T-K-I-D-N-E-Y. They can find the podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod. If you'd like to listen to more All Elite Wrestling coverage, you can hear full gear, full reviews, and other assorted ratings and business and other, of course, AEW Dynamite thoughts on Everything Elite every Thursday night. You can also listen to Shake Them Ropes for all your WWE coverage every Saturday. Thanks for listening.
Bye!
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.